Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Well, it's time for another Cover Your Assets KC podcast. I'm Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors with an office in Overland Park. You can find us online at coveryourassetskc.com. That's also where you can submit questions to be featured on the show. In fact, we've got another mailbag edition of the Cover Your Assets KC podcast today where we're going to be answering questions from folks like you. Got a variety of topics to cover today. You know Roth conversions are going to be on the list of things to talk about, but we've got more than that on tap as well. We're going to talk about hedge funds, annuities, opinions on investments and things like that. And we've got questions about, hey, I'm being offered a pension or a lump sum at my company. What should I do? Lots of different topics on the agenda today. David, it is, as we release this episode, is Thanksgiving week in the middle of COVID times. What's your Thanksgiving plan look like with you and your family?
Well, I'm actually, right now, I'm sitting, I'm as we record this, I'm sitting in Overland Park, but as you're listening to this, I'm sitting in Dallas with my family, having a super nice Thanksgiving with my two grandsons and my daughters, and it's going to be an awesome time. It is, looking out my window right now, so it's, you know, early November, it's like 65 and sunny and a totally blue sky, so it's...
You wouldn't know Thanksgiving was a week away based on today's weather, right?
Yeah. So just to peel back the curtain a little bit, most of our listeners wouldn't know, Walter, that you're sitting in North Carolina.
That's right.
And yes. I'm sitting here in Overland Park. I have no idea what it's like out there, but I'll bet it's pretty nice.
It was 75 yesterday. We cooled off a little bit today. I'd say we're about equal to you. 65 and sunny. It's gorgeous today.
Crazy for November.
I'm in shorts and a t-shirt in mid-November. Although for me, David, if you ever talk to anybody who knows me, pre-COVID times when we still saw each other in person, I'd be in shorts and a t-shirt pretty much 365 days a year. So I'm that guy when it's 30 degrees outside. I'm still trying to make an excuse for why shorts are appropriate.
You're predictable, Walter.
Very, very predictable. I'm consistent. You know, it's a good trait. It's a good trait to have. Well, I'm excited. Happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners. Thanks for being, we're thankful to you for listening to the show and being a part of the Cover Your Assets KC podcast family. And we've got a great show, as I mentioned, on the way. Let's get to some of these questions, David, and get some answers to what's on people's minds. Everett is up first today, and Everett must be a man after your heart. Is it a bad idea, Everett says, to do a Roth conversion if I have a high income? So a good qualifier there.
That is a good qualifier. And Everett, congratulations on having the high income. That's a good thing. So the determining factor as to whether you should do a Roth conversion or not is not what your tax rate is today. It's really whether your tax rate in the future is going to be less, the same, or more than it is today. So, you know, Everett, we don't know what your income is. We don't know if you're married or single. We don't know what your tax bracket is. But we do know that the determining factor is what's your tax bracket going to be when you start taking money out of this IRA. That will tell us whether you should have converted it into a Roth in 2020 or 21 or 22. So a couple of examples. Let's just say you're sitting there listening to us today and you're working and you've got a salary. Maybe you get a bonus. Maybe your spouse gets a salary and you've got some interest and dividends. That's going to be a pretty tricky time for you to make sense of doing a Roth conversion today while you're working, unless you believe that Congress is going to have to do some serious tax raising in the future. And that's a possibility. But let's say you're early retired or just regular retired, but not yet 72. You don't have to start taking required distributions yet. So you're early retired, you've got Social Security, maybe two Social Securities. Maybe you've got a pension, maybe you don't, but you're living comfortably. But you know, you've done a calculation that at age 72 and beyond, when the IRS starts making you take money out of your IRA, all of a sudden, you're going to be forced into a higher bracket. Well, that's a really good reason to start doing Roth conversions now. And let's say that after 72, you've got your Social Security and maybe your spouse's Social Security, you've got a pension, and your required distributions. That's probably too late to begin doing Roth conversions. So, Everett, what you're really looking for is this sweet spot, probably once you've retired but not yet age 72, where almost certainly, if you've done a good job of saving for your own retirement, almost certainly your income is going to be lower in those years than it's going to be at age 72 and beyond. And that's when is the real sweet spot for doing Roth conversions. So Everett, one little curveball I want to throw at you. You might know that the tax law changes that came through under President Trump, those are set to expire December 31st of 2025 if Congress does nothing to extend them. And it wouldn't be a big shocker to know that Congress does nothing to extend them and just lets them revert to where they were. And what that means, Everett, is your tax bracket is going up in 2026. That would be, when I'm doing planning with my clients for Roth conversions, that's something that we look at very closely to say, well, if we do conversions now, we can do them in the 12 and 22 and 24% bracket. But that same level of income that puts you in the 22% bracket now is going to be the 25 and maybe the 28% bracket once we get into 2026. So there are real opportunities here, Everett. I wish I knew your name. I wish I knew what your income was. But there are opportunities for you, especially once you're an early retiree, hopefully before 2026, that you can do some Roth conversions, probably a series of them over years, that are going to make a lot of sense for you and your family from a tax standpoint. So, Everett, good luck with that. If we can be of help, well, Walter will tell you how to get a hold of us, but we'd love to be able to give you some actual advice based on your situation. But hopefully that's a pretty good high-level overview of whether you can do it, whether you should do it now while you're working or after you've retired.
I'm putting myself in the shoes of other people listening to the show going, okay, Roth conversion, high income, could be some things to think about or a problem there. But just little things like, okay, what's high income? Because that can mean different things to different people. So yeah, more clarification certainly for an individual's situation needs to be known there. But it's a good question that brings up a lot of additional questions that we need to explore first, Everett, before a completely solid answer for you. But a really good question to ask. And yes, it's very easy to get in touch with David. Again, the number to get in touch, and we put all the contact info in the description of each show in the show notes section. So check that out if you want to get in touch and you don't have a pen to write this down at the exact moment. 913-317-1414 is the number, 913-317-1414, or go to CoverYourAssetsKC.com.
One little bit of clarification. You just brought up something I thought is so important. High income means different things to different people. But I don't know that many of our listeners would say if you were making $80,000 a year, that was particularly high income. But when you look at where tax rates are versus where they're going to be in 2026, if you have an $80,000 taxable income now, that's the 12% bracket if you're filing jointly. $80,000 in 2026 is going to be the 25% bracket. And when you start throwing required distributions on top of that, all of a sudden you're paying double just because time elapsed and Congress didn't do anything. If you happen to lose your spouse during that time, you're very close, as now filing single, you're very close to the 28% bracket, not the 25%, and not the 12% you're paying today. So it's absolutely positively worth some planning to make sure that you're looking forward 5, 10, 15 years. Where do I think taxes are going to be, even if Congress doesn't do anything crazy, but time just rolls along? Now what does it mean to me and my family in looking at a Roth conversion?
Always that balance of short-term versus long-term goals and decisions. Just look back one episode, we're talking more short-term, things you can do for the end of 2020, money moves that you can make before the end of the year. Sounds like a short-term thing, but some of those money decisions are for long-term goals. So it's always a dance between those two things. Again, great question, Everett. Thank you for sending that one in to us. That's what I'm here for, David, is to bring up additional point, the smart points on the show.
There you go.
You know, smart takeaways. Lisa has our next question. Lisa says, David, what's your opinion of investments that require you to keep your money locked up for a certain period of time? I know a lot of annuities operate that way, as well as some hedge funds.
So Lisa, that's a good question. What I try not to do is get locked into certain investments are good and certain investments are bad. Frankly, different investments can work together to build the type of portfolio that you're trying to build. Think of it as a retirement house. If you're going to build a house, you're not just going to use a hammer or a saw or a cement mixer or a drill or a paintbrush. You're going to use maybe all of those, probably all of those, to build the house that you want. So when you're building your retirement house, your retirement portfolio, you're probably going to use an allocation to stocks. That might be individual stocks if you love to pick those. It might be mutual funds or ETFs if you're interested in more indexing. You're probably going to have a bond allocation, and that's probably going to be in the form of a mutual fund or an ETF. But it could also be some tax-free bonds. You're likely going to have some CDs, maybe some annuities. They're less liquid, but they tend to have a higher yield. So a money market account, maybe a quarter of 1%, a 10-year government bond at 0.75%. But you can buy a CD for 1% or 2% and an annuity for maybe 2% to 4%. So those come with restrictions. You give up some liquidity and typically you get more yield. And then another asset class that you may not be thinking about is life insurance. So that provides protection for your family when you're young. It can provide long-term care benefits through their living benefit provisions. When you are looking at getting older, do I still need life insurance? And then they are also, it can be a terrific vehicle for estate planning, providing tax-free inheritance for the people that come after you. So my opinion is, it depends on what you're trying to build, Lisa, and probably 2, 3, or 4 of those are super appropriate for what you're trying to build. But you don't want to come at it with a preconceived idea that, you know, stocks are good, annuities are bad, bonds are from the last century. What you really need to do is understand how each of those types of things work together to build the retirement, the amount of safety, the amount of growth that you want and need from your investments. So good luck with all that. It could be as complicated as you want to make it, but you just need to make sure that you are getting the right amount of diversification to help you achieve your goals.
Great question, Lisa. Yep, diversification. I think a really key point to bring up at the end there, David, because that can get overlooked sometimes when we start looking at all the fancier things, like just all the other nuances of the retirement planning equation. Start talking hedge funds and particular products and, you know, locking periods up and, you know, survivor benefits and just, you know, all the different things that start to come into the conversation. We don't want to lose sight of the fact that diversification is important and a lot of these other things we want to keep on our top of mind as well. So good question, Lisa. Thanks for sending that one in to us. Again, if you want to get in touch with David, you can do that, 913-317-1414, 913-317-1414, or coveryourassetskc.com. All right, last question here, David. This one comes to us from Bill, and here's what Bill has to say. I'm retiring next year. Congratulations, Bill. And I have a pension through my company. Worked there.
Congratulations, Bill.
yeah. Double congratulations, right? Worked there for 30 years, so it's a large part of my retirement assets. And I'm trying to decide whether to take the monthly income or take the money as a lump sum. How do I decide?
All right, so Bill, that's a super good question. I get that a bunch. First of all, you're one of a waning number of people in America that have a pension, so terrific for you. And what you do with it, let me try to just talk you through the deciding factors as to how you might figure out what to do with that for yourself and your family. So I have clients that have done it both ways. I have clients who just took the monthly income. They wanted a predictable paycheck in retirement. I have clients who said, just pay me the higher amount, and when I'm dead, nothing goes to my spouse. I have more clients who said, keep paying both of us until the last of us dies. But those are choices you get to make with a pension as well. I also have one client who was on the wrong side of the credit risk of taking that monthly paycheck. The company that they had worked for years went broke. And so the pension got cut by about a third. They still get a pension, but now it's provided by the government, and it's only two-thirds of what they used to get. So there's a bit of a credit risk question that you have to ask yourself as well. So those are clients that said, nope, I want to take the uncertainty out of this thing. I don't really care about inflation because most of these pensions don't go up with inflation every year. It's, you know, the same dollar amount for the next 20 or 30 years. But they just wanted to keep it simple. Now I have a number of other clients that want to take control of that money. They roll it out as a lump sum, and all they're really doing there is putting it into their IRA. And so it becomes, at that point, an asset of their family. And probably, in all these people's situations, it'll be an asset of the next generation, too, because they're not going to blow through all that money, even if they live to 100. So why would somebody do that? Well, like I just said, it becomes an asset of the family and not cash flow for the retiree. They're also allowed to take that money out, what I usually refer to as lumpy. So if you take the monthly income, well, it is what it is, and you get it on the 5th of every month for the rest of your life. But let's say that you decide, well, I don't want that money this year. I'd rather let it accrue, let it grow, let it build. Well, if you took it out as a lump sum, then nobody sends you a check every month. You decide when and how much to take out. It is subject to required distributions, required minimum distributions. So when you're 72, you look at your lump sum rollover and your 401k and IRA, and all of that is subject to required distributions. The other thing, and Walter, you're going to chuckle at me here, but the one big benefit of doing a rollover is that that money is available for Roth conversions, which allows you to change that money from an IRA into a tax-free Roth IRA.
There it is.
There it is. And so that is most likely to happen, Bill, between the day you retire and the day you turn 72, when you have to start taking money out of these accounts. So there are a lot of things to consider. I've got a meeting next week with a client of mine who's retiring, and we're going to talk about these exact same issues, and we're going to make some calculations to say, well, are we better off one way or better off the other? Once you make the decision, then there's no do-overs. You don't all of a sudden get to, if you take the monthly income and you say a year later, oh, I wish I'd done that rollover, taking the lump sum. Well, that water's under the bridge. You can't redo it. So make sure that you get some good advice. Make sure that you think through the possibilities and what's best for you, your spouse, if you have one, and for your family going forward. Make the right decision and then, you know, be happy with it, because it's irreversible once you make it.
Thank you for the question, Bill. I knew you would steer us back in the direction of Roth conversions, and you nailed it. So well done.
It's funny how that works its way into a whole lot of topics in the financial world, especially if you believe that taxes are going higher in the future.
No wonder you're such a fan of it, David, and wise to be so, because it does enter the conversation kind of no matter where we begin. It's almost like all roads lead back to that element in some way, shape, or form, at least. So it's wise to be on top of it, that's for sure. Great conversation today. Lots of different angles and things to talk about. If there's something that's on your mind and you want to run that by David, get his thoughts and opinions and guidance on something, doesn't have to be featured here on the show. You can have one-on-one conversation with David and the team. Here's how to do that. You can get in touch by calling David directly at 913-317-1414. That's 913-317-1414. Or you can go to coveryourassetskc.com. Again, that's coveryourassetskc.com. And we're going to put links and contact information in the show notes of today's episode, so it's easy for you to find. And just look there to find it, or go to coveryourassetskc.com as well. David, this was fun. Thank you so much for the help. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving visit and trip to see family. Stay safe and healthy and fill up on lots of good food, okay?
Well, the last part has never been a problem for me, so I'll make sure that I have a slice of each of the pies, so that whoever made them won't feel like they're being shortchanged.
There you go.
You have a great Thanksgiving too, Walter.
Parting thought, though, favorite pie?
Well, I'm a big fan of the pecan chocolate chip pie.
Pecan chocolate chip. Oh, okay. The chip is a little bonus. I've heard of chocolate pecan pie, but chocolate
killer.
Chip. Very interesting. Okay.
Well, and then again, you got to have some whipped cream on top of that.
That's obvious. Yeah, of course.
What about you?
I'd say it's a tie between pumpkin and apple. I can't quite decide ever between the two. So it's always wise to have a slice of each, I think.
Exactly. A little comparison testing.
Yeah. A little ice cream maybe on top if the whipped cream isn't enough. You know, just if you're looking to splurge in 2020, you know, a little comfort food. Not a bad strategy.
Sounds pretty awesome. Well, have a great Thanksgiving. All of our listeners, you have a fantastic Thanksgiving too. And we'll hit the ground running in December with hopefully some really super interesting stuff to carry us through to year end.
Absolutely, we will. We'll talk to you again next week right back here on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.